Rabin, and he's the co-author of The Interrogators, and his latest book just out is The Apprentice, Trump, Russia, and the...
Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Oh my God, honey, I just heard some terrible news. The radio station's going off the air.
Going off the air? How will I listen to my samba music? A 1, 2, 3, back, a 3, 2, 1, back, to the side, to the side, to the left.
Honey, you're an excellent samba dancer, but I think this is it for them.
Oh no, I just went to their website, wgxc.org. You can donate monthly, did you know that?
Yeah, you can make one of those one-time donations, but you know what I'm into? Monthly sustaining support.
Oh honey, you're very sustaining, especially when we go and have that delicious spring water in Hudson and the environs.
All right. Don't get so frisky, honey. Donate monthly. Choose your amount from the drop-down menu on the old website there, or donate by check. Did you know I can give them my stock donations?
Oh, honey, give them some of that worthless Bitcoin that those children who were sleeping in their cars, they told us to buy the Bitcoin. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got some of that Bitcoin, but I got something better, cold hard cash. Donate right now to the best radio station in the land.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, October the 11th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Hurricane Michael expected to reach Virginia by this evening. Also on the Thursday rundown, the comment period open now on Trump's plan to limit green cards to immigrants who use benefits. Plus, some are calling the NAFTA replacement a missed opportunity for both dairy and the climate. First, here's our top story. Hurricane Michael crossed into Georgia Wednesday evening, that after a devastating landfall near Panama City, Florida, earlier in the day. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports Michael will quickly travel northeast over the Carolinas on Thursday and Thursday night before clearing offshore on Friday morning. That means several hours of heavy rain for the Richmond area in Virginia between Thursday evening and Friday morning. People can now officially weigh in on a proposal by the Trump administration to punish legal permanent residents who have used certain public benefits by making it harder for them to get a green card or a visa.
The proposal comes despite studies that show legal permanent residents use benefits like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or Medicaid at similar rates to U.S. citizens. The rule change appeared in the Federal Register on Wednesday, which kicks off a 60-day public comment period on the website regulations.gov. Ben Monteroso with the group Mi Familia Vota sees the move as cruel.
It's trying to continue the narrative that President Trump did, that immigrants are bad people and freeloaders, lazy people, and criminals is another attack to the Latino community.
He points out that undocumented migrants aren't eligible for most kinds of public assistance. The Department of Homeland Security says people who receive these types of aid should be declared a public charge, which would count against them if they apply for a green card or visa. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The move is part of a series of federal actions targeting the immigrant communities, some of which are tied up in litigation, including termination of DACA and the TPS program, aimed at stepping up immigration raids, separating parents and children at the border, and moves to end the policy that allows migrants to sponsor family members to come to the U.S. Voting in Iowa next month will include a soft rollout of the state's new ID law. Ross Brown reports nonpartisan groups still say voting is easy and they want to see a large turnout for the midterms.
AARP State Director Brad Anderson says his group is working alongside Iowa's Latino Political Network and state auditors who want to educate voters about this year's changes. According to Anderson, they want to make sure voters who are most affected by issues such as Social Security, Medicare, prescription drug costs, and their own financial security have easy access.
Iowa does have some new voting laws, and we are targeting Iowa's 50-plus community as well as Latino voters because historically they are among the most impacted by new election laws, and the 50-plus community in particular has been historically the largest voting bloc in the state of Iowa.
Iowa's voter ID law officially takes effect for the 2019 elections.
The Latino Political Network, along with AARP, will host awareness and education events in five cities next week, including Bettendorf, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Mason City, and Shenandoah. And in her continuing series on crime and addiction, Mary Sherman reports today on community impact.
Criminologist Donald Hutcherson of Cleveland State University and Policy Matters Ohio Director Amy Hunauer reviewed more than 40 studies and found that serving time behind bars makes it more difficult to obtain an education, find a job, and fulfill parental obligations. It's not surprising to Maggie Cook of East Liverpool, who has witnessed the cycle of addiction, prison, and poverty within her own family.
They will do the time, and we don't have the rehabilitation in the prison, so they're not getting any better. They get out, and they try to get help, and it's still pointless because they still have that felony. You see it every day. People can't get jobs. They can't get their kids back.
Louis Tobin with the Ohio Prosecuting Attorneys Association counters that the criminal justice system already works to provide treatment options to keep people out of prison.
When you talk to judges and prosecutors, you'll find out that, for the most part, we're already offering treatment to addicts in the community. And by the time a decision is made to send somebody to prison, they've violated community control or probation 6, 7, or 8 times. And if you don't get them out of community, something worse is going to happen.
The review predicts Issue 1 would allow 10,000 people to be treated in the community instead of prison. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
And finally, Eric Tegedoff reports a Minnesota-based think tank says the United States' new trade deal to replace NAFTA is a missed opportunity, especially for small-scale dairy farmers and for action on climate change.
President Donald Trump says the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, is a win for dairy farmers because it opens up part of Canada's market to exports. But Karen Hansen-Kuhn with the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy is skeptical it will make a big difference for the industry, which is facing a crisis of overproduction and low prices. She says the Canadian market as a whole is small, about the size of Wisconsin's output.
And we're not talking about opening up the entire market. What they achieved under
USMCA, is opening up about 3.6% of that market to U.S. exports. So honestly, the impact on U.S. agriculture, U.S. dairy farmers will be minimal.
Hansen Kuhn says this deal will hurt dairy farmers in Canada, which has a supply management program designed to support small family farmers.
The USMCA is awaiting approval from Congress. I'm Mike Clifford, and you have been newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flash flood watch in effect from 8 a.m. on October 11th through 2 a.m. October 12th. That's because heavy rain is expected, possibly a thunderstorm on Thursday, the high near 70. 1 to 2 inches of rain are possible Thursday. Showers continue into Thursday night with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 50. Then Friday should be partly sunny, the high near 52, a low around 41. Saturday, again, there's a 30% chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 49, a low around 37. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener supported, Creative Community Radio.
Oh my God, honey, I just heard some terrible news. The radio station's going off the air.
Going off the air? How will I listen to my samba music? A 1, 2, 3, back, a 3, 2, 1, back, to the side, to the left.
Honey, you're an excellent samba dancer, but I think this is it for them.
Oh no, I just went to their website, wgxc.org. You can donate monthly, did you know that?
Yeah, you can make one of those one-time donations, but you know what I'm into? Monthly sustaining support.
Oh honey, you're very sustaining, especially when we go and have that delicious spring water in Hudson and the environs.
All right. Don't get so frisky, honey. Donate monthly. Choose your amount from the drop-down menu on the old website there, or donate by check. Did you know I can give them my stock donations?
Oh, honey, give them some of that worthless Bitcoin that those children who were sleeping in their cars, they told us to buy the Bitcoin. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got some of that Bitcoin, but I got something better, cold hard cash. Donate right now to the best radio station in the land.
Next, we have these reports.
La Dama is a Latin alternative band of four women musicians and activists. They will be performing at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy this Friday, October 12th. Hudson Mohawk Magazine's correspondent Steve Pierce spoke with Sarah Lucas of the band in advance of their performance.
My name is Sarah Lucas, and I am from La Dama. And La Dama is a band of women from four countries. Lara Claus is from Recife, Brazil. Mafer Pendola is from Barquisimeto, Venezuela. Daniela Serna is from Bogota, Colombia. And we have a musical collaborator, Pat Subota, who is a bass player in New York. I currently live in New York, but I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. And I did at one time live in New Orleans.
And I've wondered what the name La Dama comes from.
The name La Dama means the lady in Spanish. And it has a double meaning because it also represents the first two letters of each name, Lara, Daniela, and Maria, La Dama. I joined 2 weeks later after the perfect name was figured out. So we've kept La Dama.
And why is it all capitals when it's printed?
It's in all capitals because of its double meaning. Because in Spanish, it would just be L-A, and then the next word would be D-A-M-A. It would be La Dama. So we have changed that. If it was all lowercase, it wouldn't look the same. It would not make sense.
And how do you describe La Dama to others?
La Dama is a collective of musicians from the Americas. It's a Pan-American band where we use music from all of our cultures, modern and traditional, to create a fusion that crosses borders and with a foundation and rhythm.
And what is, I assume there's some intent in putting together a band in that fashion. What is the mission of the band?
Well, initially the mission of the band was created to, Maria had an idea to bring all the four of us as women to her community in Barquisimeto, to her neighborhood called Cruz Blanca, and to show us to the young women in her neighborhood as an example and a role model of something other than a future as a mother. Not that that's to be disrespected, but it was it was important to her to show this other way that women can produce, be leaders, can create, and can compose, and also be mothers and also do other things.
And is that a controversial perspective?
I think that it continues to be a controversial perspective all over the world.
What sort of reactions do you get from people who watch you perform who may not be coming from the same place?
I mean, it's not exactly like that. There's no, like, confrontations. It's not, you know, if somebody thinks that, they probably keep it to themselves. But it's clear because of the issues of diversity in the music industry and women in leadership roles across politics, teachers, politics, musicians, business owners, entrepreneurs, that it's clear that it's still controversial. You don't have to say it out loud and come up to me at a concert to say that. It's just obvious all over the world.
Well, if there were a perfect historical and political moment for a band like La Dama, this seems to be it.
Cool.
What are your musical influences? What do you bring to the band, each of you individually and collectively?
Each of us definitely, we all use music from our roots, but mixed with contemporary, like modern, like pop music. So Lara is a drummer, a master drummer, and vocalist and guitarist, and she comes from the northeast of Brazil, and they have frevo and coco and baião, and she uses a lot of those rhythms as part of like our compositional process. Daniela is from Bogota, but she studied on the Afro-Colombian coast, and she's bringing this background in chalupa, champeta, and bullerengue, cumbia. Maria is from Barquisimeto, Venezuela, which is like the musical center of the country, like spiritual musical center. And there they have joropo, which is like huge. It's like a whole culture. It's a whole beautiful language. She's also the only woman from Venezuela who plays electric bandola llanera in the world. She's a real trailblazer. And then I am, being from St. Louis, I grew up with jazz, blues, and soul. And I'm also classically trained on the guitar, but I'm primarily a vocalist. And so I bring those things plus I'm from New York, which is an amazing melting pot, and the birthplace of hip hop and all those things.
How did you all get together? You're coming from such different places.
We met in 2014 at a residency called One Beat. It is curated by the U.S. State Department and produced by Found Foundation, a nonprofit organization in New York that brings together 25 musicians from around the world to create socially engaged projects and compose music. And that happened in 2014, and then we met in California for that. And then after that, we decided we want to keep going after that month.
And are you playing traditional venues, bars and places like that, or do you play a lot of community centers? And what's the tour trajectory?
We play everything. We play halls, we play bars, we play community centers, we play backyards, we play everything. We play huge festivals, everything.
What were you doing before La Dama?
I was in a band called Callers, which was kind of like an indie rock band. I released 3 full-length records and toured for years with bands like Dirty Projectors and Here We Go Magic and Y-Oak and such.
And how does your experience now compare with that?
Well, that experience really helped me understand how we could produce our own record, La Dama's record. Plus, I have known many sound engineers and mastering engineers and very familiar with the music business, having worked with labels. So that definitely helped inform this project, for sure. Lotta also had experience with that as well.
And you talked about your various musical influences and how that all comes together. I'm struck by the diversity of your recording, where you listen to one song and it sounds like a traditional song, and you listen to another and it's a hip-hop song. What is the general trajectory of your performances? Well, how do you mix things up, and what can the audience expect?
Oh, well, I hope that the audience can feel power and soul in our music. We hope that we can bring that when we play, excitement, spontaneity, and soul. That's what I hope audiences can expect when they see us.
Is it largely modern pop music, like the hip-hop style, or does it range all over the map?
No, it ranges all over the map, for sure. Because of our so many influences, yeah.
Now, you're on 6 Degrees record, which has a quite a diverse crowd. We had MacLeat perform here not long ago. And
She's amazing.
What is the label perspective on what you do? What is it, I assume you chose the label carefully. What is it that they bring to you and that you bring to them?
Well, because of previous relationships with various people that are on our team, and they have, you know, they're really open to musicians making the record that they want to make.
Now, you've described a career that goes back a number of years. How have the changes in the music industry affected what you do and how you do it?
I believe that the changes in the music industry didn't just stop. It's not like it changed and then it stopped. It's constantly changing. So it's like you can't really measure it. But live music is still thriving. In fact, it's becoming more and more popular, even as people buy less and less records. And that becomes the thing that everyone does, musicians. They have to stay on the road to make a living.
So in a way, it's back to where it started.
Yeah, except when it started, people did sell records.
Are you saying that people don't buy music or they don't buy records?
Both. So I am saying that people don't buy music like they used to. I mean, the Beatles didn't even tour for years. They just sold records. You know? I mean, it's totally different now. You could never do that.
And what are people doing? Are they just hoping to hear it on a stream or getting it from Spotify or not as acquisitive anymore?
Well, it's always very incredible and supportive of folks. When you go see a show, buying a record or a CD or a T-shirt from the artist is the most powerful thing you can do to support musicians. I just want to say that right now. But you can't get around the fact that everything is free on the internet, or practically free. So that's what people do now. You can listen to anything on YouTube or Spotify, etc.
So everything's free, and there's more music than ever, which poses quite a challenge to make a living doing it.
Yeah, that's the upside, that there's a lot of incredible music you have at your fingertips from all over the world.
And are you able to do this, support yourselves touring, or is there grant money involved, or do you have second jobs? How does that work?
We support ourselves touring while we're on tour. When we're not on tour, we have to find other work.
Well, we're really excited to have you come here. It sounds like you have had a wide range of venues that you've performed at, and hopefully we'll add to your list of unique places.
Thank you so much. We really look forward to coming to Troy.
That was Sarah Lucas of the all-female Latin alternative band La Dama. La Dama will be performing at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy this Friday, October 12th.
Tune in or turn out Tuesday mornings during the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. We'll be live from High Low in Catskill Tuesday, October 16th and Tuesday, October 23rd from 9 to 11 a.m. Stop by and have a chat on the air as WGXC is live from High Low in Catskill on Tuesday, October 16th and Tuesday, October 23rd with the WGXC Morning Show during the Pullover Pledge Drive, where we're asking for your help to end the pledge drive as we know it on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC.org/donate.
Hello.
Oh, you sound good.
How you doing?
Nice. Sean, you want to give it a try?
Hello.
Oh, you guys are naturals.
I am myself.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, and look, do you see on the computer? Those are the sound files. You can see what your voice looks like.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right? Do you guys want to make a station ID for WGXC that will play sometimes?
Yes.
Would you like to do that? That would be great. Okay, so...
My name is Sean.
My name is Chris.
My name is Kelly. You listen to WGXC...
Edgar.
90.7.
Perfect. When we have visiting artists come and we interview them, we like to ask them this question, so I want to ask you guys this question, okay? So we'll start with you, Sean. Do you have a favorite sound? Do you have a least favorite sound?
Hey.
Pretty good. All right, and you can make the sound if you want, or you can just tell me what it is. If you have a favorite sound, like if your favorite sound was the sound of unicorns, you could just describe it if you wanted. How about you, Chris? What's your favorite sound?
Crickets.
Crickets? Yes. That's beautiful. Do you have a least favorite sound?
Silence.
Oh, good answers. All right.
Mine would be birds, just any type of bird.
Is that your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
How about your least favorite?
Thunder.
Oh, nice. All right, I'm going to sit down so I can ask you another question. So who is part of the group? Are all three of you part of the group that is making the interviews?
Except for Sean, he's not.
Okay. And it's you're doing it kind of as a podcast?
Yes.
So tell me about it. Like, who are you interviewing?
Different people.
Yeah? And do you? What kind of questions do you ask the people?
Just questions in general. Like, we come up with these six... I can't really...
You do your best and I'll fill in the gaps.
Yeah. We interview people with interests, and we do like podcasts, we do stories, we do live interviews.
What people do?
That's a great way to ask it, what people do. One time I took a workshop where they were talking about how to interview people. And someone gave really good advice. They said, you don't want to ask questions that have a yes or no answer, because then the person you're interviewing just gives you one word, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't say, do you like red, the color red? Because then somebody will say yes or no. Instead, you might say, tell me about the color red, right? And then someone will probably tell you a really good story about how they feel about the color red. I bet you guys are good interviewers. I want to listen to some of those.
The main thing about media group is it's for new people working for the campaign and what their experience about their future about Camp Hill.
And maybe this is Michael from Camp Hill Hudson. just to tie that all together. So it's a lot of what we would call biography type of work, where we simply just ask people about their lives. And it is primarily people that have some connection with us, either a chance encounter on the street or somebody that's working directly with our organization. Just to give another example, there's a priest who actually has her congregation out of the church that WGXC broadcasts. Catherine, we interviewed her because...
I was the one that mainly interviewed her because I belong to that church.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so that's essentially what we're looking for, is just to hear people tell their story and how it connects to Camp Hill. And just to continue that sharing and listening. Yeah.
Sounds very aligned with what WGXC does. I think I see a beautiful future here. All right, you guys want to just give a shout out to anybody for when we put this on the radio, in case you have some friends listening?
Shout out.
Shout out to Nathan.
Nice.
I have to say a shout out to the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson and Catherine Belkin and her family.
Very nice.
Shout out to the Camp Hill organization throughout the world.
All right. Well, thank you guys for visiting Wave Farm. It's so nice to have you here.
Shout out to everybody in New York State.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Wednesday, October 10th, there's a big show in Western Massachusetts. Charlene Beatty's Wet Tuna and Joshua Burkett play at 8 p.m. at the Root Cellar, Greenfield, Massachusetts. Also in Catskill, a big show. Interplanetary Music is the name of the show. It's an evening of Sun Ra at High Low with Keith Prey, Chris Payson, Scott Petito, Otto Hauser, Tyler Wood, Jonathan Talbot, Danny Bloom, Mitch Kessler, Don Mickelson, and other special guests. That's Wednesday, October 10th, 8 p.m. at High Low in Catskill. Thursday, October 11th is the Buy Local Business Expo at the Columbia Green Community College. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. Then Thursday, October 11th, the Albany Institute of History and Art shows the film Brought to Light, Unearthing the History of an African-American Cemetery in Kinderhook, New York. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Albany Institute of History and Art.
Cassie.
Hey, it's Shelby, and we're from Chatham.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM.
Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
Listener-supported hands-on radio.
For Greene and Columbia counties. Have a nice day.
Yay!
Fridays on WGXC are made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ken Ituarte of Catskill, New York. Sustaining supporters like Ken are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
We talked to Steve Pierce from the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy. It runs WOOCLP, which WGXC partners with. I'm Tom Rowe, live at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, where WOOCLP is based. And listeners to WGXC have probably heard reports from the Sanctuary for Independent Media and WOOC on our station. And we're talking to Steve Pierce, who is, what is your role here?
Well, I'm the executive director of Media Alliance, which is the parent organization that runs the Sanctuary for Independent Media and WOOC.
And why are you involved in all this? Why is it important to, for an area to have a community radio station?
Well, you know, I'm almost 60, and all of what passes for my career has been spent in the community media world. I started really, as a kid, I started by building my own AM radio stations, crystal radio set, and all that kind of stuff. Sort of a stereotypical start for people my age into the world of radio. And when I got to college, I learned about community broadcasting from a station that used to be a great community radio station. Now it's, I feel, turned into a less great station. It became a pretty standard cookie-cutter NPR station, ran a lot of national programming. But when I was there, it was the place where a kid from the East Coast could go and meet people from southwestern Ohio, just regular people, factory workers, farmers, and we shared a love of bluegrass music. And I was one of the programmers who did a bluegrass show on the station, along with probably a dozen other folks. And it was a community in the radio station. A community radio station is so much about the community that's created within, as much as maybe more than it is about the community that's created outside. So that experience really stayed with me my whole life. I realized that you meet people who love music, you meet people who love food, whatever it might be. It's a place to meet and get to know people that you would never know any other way. And at the time when I was getting involved in radio, the community radio station was the place, whatever town I would go to when I was traveling after I got out of college, I'd go to the community radio station first, because that would be the place where people could tell me about the best record stores, the best restaurants, the best clubs. It was a community of people who, wherever you were, you knew that you'd be a part of.
And how has it been in Troy and WOC since you've been on the air now almost 2 years?
We started in late 2015. You know, we started running all automated for a while and are still largely automated. It's an adjustment to figure out how to run a radio station in the current era. I thought I knew all about it, and I was out of the radio world for a few years in graduate school and then doing other things. And when I came back, because we had the opportunity to apply for a low-power FM license and received it, I was shocked to find how much things had changed. I mean, I thought everything, I didn't even really think about it. And so it's been an incredible learning experience. It's so much about the internet now. It's so much about online technologies and digital editing and all these things that were once unimaginable. Plus, there's so much competition from other forms of audio and video entertainment and information distribution that it really changes the way people think about the radio. You can't afford to have the mindset that we had in the 70s and 80s, where it was really the community radio station was the only game in town when it came to getting alternative music and culture and information. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah, maybe there was an alternative weekly magazine, right? Then, and now those have gone away, and your local newspapers are probably shells of what they once were. Is the Troy Record any good anymore?
Well, you know, I will say that the page count on the Troy Record has gone way down. The employee count has gone way down. The Troy Record and the Saratogian in this area were purchased by a company called Digital First Media, and they sold the assets. That's why they bought the company. So the building that housed the Troy Record is now an apartment complex, and they call it the News Apartments. And, you know, venture capitalists have stripped venerable community resources of their assets, and now they're shadows of their former selves. It's hard to imagine how they're going to move forward. It's really just a brand name now. Times Union in Albany has a little bit more going for it because it has the resources of the Hearst Corporation behind them. But even there, the number of reporters has declined, the amount of news that's produced is dropped, the morale in the paper is bad. I mean, it's still an important local news source. They're still the only ones who have the resources to do investigative journalism when they want to, and they still perform a really valuable community service, but it's not what it used to be.
Do you get a sense that the station has an impact in the community? Have there been things happening, you know, with the city council or things happening in the neighborhood that have that you guys are somewhat responsible for, or that the discussion that goes on here is responsible for?
I don't know. It's always been very difficult to tell what the impact, what the listenership of a radio station is. If you're too small to generate an audience that's larger than the margin of error of the rating services, so it's hard to say. I know that we were on the air playing reggae and African pop music for a year, and then did a benefit show at the Egg in Albany, featuring Vusi Malisela and the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars. And we were worried that it would be a complete bust because we had no idea who might be listening or, you know, who might come. And we won't take credit for all of it, but there was a sellout crowd and people were really enthusiastic about it. And a number of folks thought it was because there was a radio station in town playing this kind of music that really rarely gets heard 24/7. So beyond that, I don't know that there's been a real impact in terms of our news coverage. You know, we've seen some of our coverage on the front page or the front pages of the Albany Times Union because we have deep connections to communities where they don't because of the people who work with us. But I don't even really worry about that. I don't think we worry about it too much. I know that we're making an impact because I see the people who are working around us. It's a group of people who would never exist anywhere else if we weren't doing what we're doing. And so that's not nothing. We're talking about maybe 50 to 100 people. But in a very segregated community where the incomes are very stratified, to have a diverse group of people working together on a progressive media project in a fairly large number, that's an amazing accomplishment. leaving out the question of whether there's an audience for what they're producing. Now, I know there's an audience for what they're producing because we broadcast it every day. We rebroadcast it the next day. We put up a podcast. We cut the content up and put it on the web and on social media. So there's no doubt that it gets out. But the actual impact that it has, it's not like the Pentagon Papers or something like that. We're not bringing down governments.
what kind of stories do you try to focus on? What are the issues going on for in Troy or for WOOC?
Well, we try to cover the capital region as best we can, but because we're in Troy and that's where our physical presence is, that's where our focus is. We have a philosophy of hyperlocalism because with all the competition in the media world, very few people are trying to cover local news, culture, and politics. They're just not doing it. So, and I think there's a hunger from people. They want it. They live here. They want to know what's going on. So the rule of thumb is that all of the programming either needs to be, certainly the news programming should be as local as possible, and or at least have a local connection. So it might be somebody coming in from out of town, but they're coming here, and so that's the local connection, so-and-so speaking somewhere. Or local politics about zoning issues or police issues or, restaurants, you name it, but really local. That's what we're focusing on. We'd love to get to a point where we can do hard news and really be a force in the community in terms of presenting information that isn't available anywhere else. It's hard to do that with an all-volunteer crew because we have to train the people we have, and it's hard to train journalists to work for no money and train them with no budget. But really, after just a year of doing the news show here, we've developed quite a good team of people, and the stories they produce are surprisingly good, and it ranges from breaking news occasionally about things happening in the region to more feature stories. And it's an interesting portrait of life in the capital region that I don't think you can find anywhere else.
And I guess finally, we're in the midst of our pledge drive, and what would be an argument you would make to people listening to make a sustainable donation to a local community radio station?
Well, I mean, it's an irreplaceable resource. It's the kind of thing you want to have in your community, whether you're feeling that you're using it extensively or not. It's like a library or a fire department or any other kind of public service. It's really something that's crucial to the community fabric. And so there's just no doubt in my mind that every community should have a media resource that they can go to, that their kids can go to, their neighbors, their politicians, businesses. It's incredibly important. All the information tools are being locked down by large corporate entities. And just a few years ago, we were under the illusion that Facebook and some of these other social media platforms were going to replace the need for independent media forms because everybody can produce their own media on these sites. But what we're seeing is that the distribution of this content is being locked down, and people have very little recourse when Facebook bans them from their page, or when they decide that the content offends community standards, or whether their algorithm for who to show it to veers off into some tangent where your followers don't see what you're posting.
If you're on page 4 of Google search, you're not anywhere, right?
Yeah, so to have a medium that you control, you own the building that it's in, you own the equipment that you're using, you own the transmitter, you have the license, the antenna, it's an extraordinary resource. And so from that perspective alone, it's like a municipal asset. It's a public good, and so people should support it. And really we're not talking about a lot of money. I think the key for supporting these kinds of community institutions is a lot of people giving a little bit. And so the sustainer model is fantastic because for whatever you pay for, in my case, a newspaper, in other people's case, a beer or a coffee, once a month, you can be part of a wave of people sustaining a vital community resource and really not feel the pain. 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 bucks a month, whatever people can afford. It's incredibly important. It's not something that you really notice until you don't have it anymore, and by then it's too late.
All right, thank you. Steve Pierce with the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy and WOOC.
Thanks for coming by.
I just heard some terrible news, honey.
What's that, dear?
WGXC is going off the air.
Oh, no, they didn't get my donation of 45 cents and a cup of old coffee.
Ah, well, you can go to the website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and give them a donation. You can do it monthly, online, by check. You can even give them your stocks.
Oh, I'm not giving them my stocks, honey. My Apple stock just went up. Oh, you love that apple stock. Oh, and I love apples and peaches from the orchards of the Hudson Valley. Oh, boy.
Next, we have these reports.
Tune in to special programming during the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive Thursday, October 11th, as we try to end the pledge drive as we know it at WGXC. Ernesto Aguilera, Membership Program Director with the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, will be the guest on the WGXC Morning Show with Pete Kirchhoff on Thursday, talking about the importance of community radio. At 3 p.m., the Camp Hill Hudson Sound Explorer Group visits Wave Farm and provides some audio sounds. Bobby Previtt and Max Hamill are the guests on the Jazz Disturbance at 7 p.m. Tune in all this special programming during the WGXC Pledge Drive and consider making a donation at wgxc.org/donate.
Oh, honey, I just heard some terrible news.
What's that, honey?
The radio station WGXC is going off the air.
Oh, my goodness. Did you know you could donate by check? Give them a check to WGXC 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405.
And you can also go to their website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and donate monthly, a sustaining supporter.
Oh, I'll be a sustaining supporter, honey, once we get up to that St. Charles Hotel.
Oh, yes, I love the bar there.
There's no bar there.
That's what I meant.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Buke and Gace have a brand new 2018 track out called Derby from the Hudson band Buke and Gace.
Yes, good day to all at WGXC. I just listened to John Sasso, that hour-long program. And I just wanted to comment, you know, I thought maybe I had the wrong radio station because I thought maybe I was on the Rush Limbaugh show or whatever. But I was, it was a long program, and I, you know, didn't really get a chance to call in or anything like that, and actually missed quite a bit of the program, too, for other reasons. But it did seem pretty much to me like a John Faso commercial, even to the point of, my brother's going to vote for you, kind of a comment. And you know, I would have liked to have asked a little bit about what he thinks of the despicable human being we call President Trump, who, in my opinion, is a despicable human being. And I don't see how anybody with a rational mind wouldn't come to that same conclusion. Very mean-spirited, very narcissistic, on and on and on and on. Not somebody I would ever, say that I would feel comfortable with, let alone that he rules our country. And John Faso seems to stick along with his programs pretty consistently at this point. Very upsetting. I'm hoping that you're going to have Antonio Delgado on as well as some kind of a rebuttal to this, because I hate to think this rural community that I live in Greene County and also over in Columbia County, that has basically put Mr. Faso, I hate to think they're going to do that again. It's really disturbing to me. I guess I didn't get that same education up here in the rural areas that mean and hateful is good. I don't know. Anyway, just wanted to add my comment. Thank you. Bye for now.
Pull over. Gently.
Nice and easy.
That's it. Pull over and pledge your support to WGXC 90.7 FM during our Sustaining Supporter Pledge Drive, October 10th through October 23rd. Do it now at wgxc.org/donate and consider becoming a Sustaining Supporter. By becoming a Sustaining Supporter, you're investing in community radio every month. Your financial support is tax deductible, allows WGXC to meet the most basic operating costs, and keeps WGXC on your FM dial.
No way!
Yes way!
From our studios in Hudson, Catskill, and Acre, New York, WGXC has brought Greene and Columbia County's local news, opinions, music, traffic reports, politics, interviews, live performances, and more for over 7 years. So stop! Pull over and donate. WGXC.org/donate.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Steve Hughes is reporting for the Times Union. A Columbia County man was ticketed after he struck a Taconic High School bus carrying two students and several staff members on October 9th. Sheriff David Bartlett said the accident occurred when Daniel O'Connell, 71, of Hillsdale, was heading west on Route 23 and attempted to pass several vehicles on the left, including the school bus. Bus driver tried to turn left onto County Route 16, and O'Donnell's BMW struck the bus, disabling both vehicles. Five passengers on the bus were not injured. The driver of the bus was taken to Sharon Hospital in Connecticut after complaining of neck pain. O'Connell was ticketed for improper passing. Read the full story in the Times Union. The Mid-Hudson News is reporting a proposed bill to impose term limits on elected officials in Ulster County was attacked by the three people who spoke at a public hearing October 9th in Kingston. Proposed law number 15 of 2018 would impose a 12-year term limit on the offices of county executive and county comptroller. The law would also reduce the individual terms from 4 to 3 years each. A representative of the League of Women Voters, Dare Thompson, spoke against the law. She said, and I quote, "The League of Women Voters' position on term limits has been very long held. We're against them," end quote. "We have our own method of getting rid of people. We go and vote them out," end quote. Thompson also noted that redistricting is done fair in Ulster County. The races are competitive and the legislature is, and I quote, "pretty balanced," end quote. Others focused on the financial connection behind the term limit movement, citing the work of Reclaim New York, a lobbying group connected to the wealthy conservative-leaning Mercer family. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Rachel Silverstein is reporting at Capital Confidential. Democrat Aaron Glad has been endorsed by 1199 SEIU, the largest healthcare union in the United States, in his bid for the 43rd Senate district seat. Glad is running against Republican Daphne Jordan. In its statement, SEIU stated, and I quote, New York needs leaders who recognize the critical importance of an empowered and well-protected workforce, and we are certain that Aaron will bring those values to the Senate and be a treasured voice for the legislature, end quote. Also October 10th, Jordan, Marchione's former legislative director, won the endorsement of former state majority leader Joseph L. Bruno. In the 19th congressional district race, the National Federation of Independent Business formally endorsed incumbent Republican John Faso for re-election. The Federation said Faso represents the best choice to represent small businesses in the district. The National Federation of Independent Business has been an advocate for small businesses for 75 years. Robin Gavin reports in the Albany Times Union that state police arrested Nauman Hossein, one of the sons of the owner of the limousine company that rented a vehicle that crashed October 6 in Schoharie, killing 20 people. His lawyer said he is likely facing multiple counts of criminally negligent homicide. Prestige Limo is owned by Shahid Hussein, his father. The company's 2001 Ford Excursion crashed at the intersection of Routes 30 and 30A shortly before 2 p.m. October 6, killing all 18 people on board and two people in the parking lot of the Apple Barrel Country Store. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Gray. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flash flood watch in effect from 8 a.m. on October 11th through 2 a.m. October 12th. That's because heavy rain is expected, possibly a thunderstorm on Thursday, the high near 70. 1 to 2 inches of rain are possible Thursday. Showers continue into Thursday night with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 50. Then Friday should be partly sunny, the high near 52, a low around 41. Saturday, again, there's a 30% chance of showers, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 49, a low around 37. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Akron, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
I'm riding in your car. You turn on the radio.
Stop and get out of your car if you can, starting Wednesday, October 10th with the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. If you spend the morning on the road listening to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Live at 8 a.m., or if your afternoon involves spending time with hosts on 90.7 FM, consider making a pledge during the Pullover Pledge Drive. Your collection of community voices is different than public radio. We're not interested in reporting on the president's whereabouts every 5 minutes. Instead, WGXC provides the community a chance to have their say about local issues like the Greene County Jail, water problems in Nassau and Hoosick Falls.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening.
listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.